was thinking as we finish the second part of Jude and our walk of faith, how does that look like, especially in the times of transition or trouble that we're struggling with? And sometimes the world needs to be shook. I was actually talking with Pastor Jake today, and I said, you know, since 2020 to 2022, the whole world, including the body of Christ, has been shook, right? Shook. And I believe God's allowing that for a reason, because he wants, my wife always had a good picture of a sift. Is that what you call it, those of you who bake? Right? Everything is shook, and all the fine stuff and all the junk stuff's left on the screen, right? And I believe that's what God's allowing this world to experience. I don't know if you're sports-minded or not, but I played sports all my life, and the first time I've seen this or saw this was Monday Night Football this past Monday night. A young 24-year-old man, not violent at all, but he tackled somebody. The helmet hit him right in his sternum. He stood up, and he had a cardiac arrest. He went lifeless. That strike was so timely and so spot on that it stopped his heart. Now in the football world, Monday Night Football is wow, right? And the two top teams and our whole culture is like, yeah, wow. And it like stood still. No one has ever saw that before, where people was doing CPR on the field. I mean, you see ambulance cart people off and all that, but they all say, oh, I'm all right, I'm a warrior. In fact, I've heard not only football players, but other athletes say this, I would die for my fellow players. I don't know. Would you die for a game, right? But you see, when we're being shook like that in our own lives and we start processing, what would I give my whole self to? And I remember this saying that my wife found, I don't know where she found it, a couple months ago. And it said this about our faith walk. And this is what it said. I don't know who the author was. It said, our faith can appear stupid at times. Think about that. Our faith walk can appear stupid at times to the world system, right? Until it begins to rain. And on the bottom it said, sign Noah. You know, people thought Noah was so stupid when he was building the ark, right? And then it started to rain. And when you start to enter this 2023, and I don't know about you, but we've lost control of our island. Jeez. I don't know if people get all this money. I mean, there was so much rocket red glares. I thought bombs was bursting in airs. I mean, I don't know what happened to firecrackers, but it's like a show. Don't go pay to see a fireworks show anymore, right? Just open your back window and look, because everybody's got them now, right? But as we transition into this new year, I want you to consider this. God has allowed some heavy things in this last couple of years for a reason. He always has a purpose. And I believe for me, I don't want to speak to you, it's to grow my faith. It's to let me know how deep my intimacy with him is. And that's real challenging for me. Because I don't want to just study the word. I don't want to just come to church. I want to fall deeper and deeper in love with Jesus Christ. Because that's the only thing that keeps me. We're saturated with enough information, right, in this world today. You can Google, Bing, TikTok, Instagram, Ducky Duck, whatever, and get whatever information you want. But it will not create, nor can it duplicate, an intimate walk with our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. So I want you to remember that, because Jude, as we talked about last week, he was trying to pen this letter to the believers about the koinonia, or the like-minded of our salvation. He was writing about that. We all share that. And we talked about that last week, how we feel good no matter where we travel. We're amongst believers and followers of Jesus. We feel right at home. Even there's language barriers, cultural barriers. And as Jude began to pen this, Holy Spirit took him to, I want you to tell the believers they need to be aware there's things that are going to happen, and not to be afraid, because God is with us. Amen? And so as we begin tonight's study, the second part of the look of my faith, especially in the land of our afflictions or struggles or hard times, I want you to consider, how does your faith walk look right now? Right where you're sitting, if you're online, if you're listening on the radio, how does your faith walk look today with Christ? Because he's there, and he wants to be so intimate with you and I, but it's our choice to allow him to do that. Amen? Father, we thank you for this word. This half-brother of Jesus is so humble, never proclaims his relationship with Christ, just that he's a servant of Jesus now. I'm sure he wasn't like that when they were growing up, and then Holy Spirit grabbed him, and his eyes saw the glory of God in his brother. I pray that it'll happen to us tonight. As we read and consider the words of Jude, that we can see the mysterious revelation of Jesus Christ right before our eyes, in creation, in this world, in our own bodies, especially in the war of our minds. Strengthen us, O God, to hear from you tonight. We need you more than ever in this land of affliction called the United States. Bless our country, as the worship team eloquently sang. We need revival. And start with us, Lord. Start with your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. All God's people say, amen. So I will be covering verses 14 through the end, which is 25. And it starts out a little different because we ended with Jude warning us, watch out for doctrines and cult-like things and teachers, because they're like dry reefs that you kind of see. They're like clouds that look like it's going to rain and it never comes. Be careful for that. Now, tonight he's going to start with some interesting examples as he begins to talk about Enoch first in verses 14 through 15. So let's pick it up there. A little different. And he talks about Enoch and he says, and about these, talking about the false teachers, Enoch and the seventh generation from Adam prophesied, saying, so he said, hey, I'm not the only one penning this. Seven generations after Adam was talking about weird stuff and weird people coming into the body. So he says, behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones, verse 15, to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly deeds which they have done in an ungodly way and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Enoch. And I'm sure you all know Enoch. He's one of two men that never died, humans that never died. And his name means dedicated to God, and he dedicated his life to him. Now, as Enoch saw in his time how ungodly the world had become, he wrote a lot. If you study the life of Enoch, he wrote a lot. But it's not filed, or it's not put into the Bible for a reason that God knows. But Enoch's writings was in the Ark, the Holy Ark of the Covenant, with the staff and the manna, right? So Enoch, back in his time, he wrote a lot of powerful stuff, and you can just find it on your own. And he was a prolific writer, in my opinion, as I read a little bit of his literature. And why many of the Jewish people didn't like Enoch's writing is because even way back then, guess what his writing was focusing? To Jesus, the coming Messiah. And the Jews did not like that. They thought David with the white horse Messiah was coming. They didn't appreciate the slaughtered lamb coming, whose blood was to cover all of our sins. They were really confused with that. But Enoch wrote a little bit about that, and the Jews didn't like that. But I want you to know that I want you to be encouraged tonight on this one thing, and this has kept me over the years. Because I don't know about you, but I always be like this. When my wife and I travels, and we're in the hotel, right? Or now we rent little houses, VRBOs, I think you call it. But we're sitting there, and I see this certain type of preacher, and I always tell myself, I'm going to give him or her 5 minutes of my time. I just want to see if they changed over the years. So I give them 5 minutes, and guess what happens? I like pull their head right out to the screen, and go boom, just headbutt them right across the nose. Not kill them, just nosebleed, you know. But I get so irritated. But in verse 15, this is what's kept me. This is what's kept me. God tells us, I'm going to take care of all ungodliness. You guys don't fret about that. You just keep on pursuing, loving me and me loving you and spreading that as far wide as you can. And that really has kept me as far as my spiritual sanity, because I can get so upset because I know the crowd they're attacking, elderly, people really down and out, right? People that know the truth of God's word, and they attack and attack. And when I read verses like this in verse 15, I just come into this peace, and I just wonder if you call yourself, and I hope you do more than call, that you believe that you are a believer and follower of Jesus Christ, then why would you not prepare yourself for some phony baloney to come or some cult doctrine to come before you, not in a little pamphlet or something, right? And you really, wow, it sounds good. They do a lot of family stuff. Why can't we see beyond that? And when we start to realize where our walk with Christ is, you see, if you and I say we're walking with Christ, he will give us revelation of all things we need to know for that moment, for that specific situation. Think about this. I don't know if you've ever been in a courtroom. Hopefully you was never the defendant. But if you're ever in a courtroom, you got the judge, right? And you got the prosecutor and the defense attorney. Now, my question is, why wouldn't you want Jesus to be your defense attorney for all the stuff that you've done and I've done, right? That question the world should consider. Because they think the world system, and when I say, I was sharing this at my home fellowship last night, when I say the world system, I don't only mean the system of things in the world, but this, our mind, our hearts, the whole three-dimensional plane we live in right now, that's the whole system of things that we struggle with. And when I start to think about that, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, John tells us, it's up here on the screen, but he tells us that us as his children should consider Jesus as our advocate, right? Look at this. Why wouldn't you grab on this? Why would a human being think they've lived a good life, good enough to make it to heaven? I don't know. But that's the system we live in, right? And so when you start to hear this writing of Jude, and he says, man, if you speak against the deity of Jesus Christ, you're not dedicated to living for the Heavenly Father. Because that's really the truth. If you consider Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then that truth should set you free and set me free to pursue truth for our own lives. I ask myself this question, how do we discern false teachers or teachings? How do you know? Because there's some way out there, right? But how do you know when this comes and it's real? You know, the devil can be real subtle. He can be real subtle. He's a little sly, slithering thing, right? So how do we know that this is coming before us? Well, here's some of my thoughts when I considered this. By their actions, any man or woman standing in front of this podium or in other podiums, and they're wearing like $5,000 worth of clothes, you gotta look at them and go, I wonder what we could have done with all that money, right? Now, I'm not saying pastors should be broke and poor, but we should be in the middle. And we shouldn't be like just flaunting things in front of people. So just by their actions, just by their actions. And their hearts, like I told you previously, I give them 5 minutes, and their hearts become very clear. They want money. They want recognition, and they want stuff. You see, false teachers would always, their hearts will always go that way. And I know this about my God. He will always reveal ungodliness to you and I. God will never, never allow us to be deceived if we're one of His. You believe that tonight? Do you believe that tonight? Because He tells us if we're in His hand, nothing can take us out. He uses the word pluck. You have to believe and know that, that God would never not give you enough to understand what was just taught and what was just said and what you're experiencing, if it's godly or ungodly. He would always prepare and train you for that. Our testimonies, as the word says here, harsh things at the end of verse 15, harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. A lot of people can say stuff about, well, I'm not going to talk for you, but they can say stuff about me. That's why I could never be in politics. They'd bring stuff up from the third grade. As far back as when I was, what, Mom, 4? I almost killed that kid with the rifle, hit him between the eyes. Bang! Thought I was Bruce Lee at 4 years old. I mean, you know, people can bring stuff all the way back and say, you know that guy, he was brought up in Kalihi and blah, blah, blah. He used to blah, blah, just like your life, right? They can do that. But this is what my Lord's shared to me and to you in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You have to understand that. Your life story is important to God, and He can use it in a powerful way. Does that make sense? Amen. Amen. So ponder on that stuff, because no one or nothing can change our story. You can try. I don't know about you, but I tried to be good growing up. All the time I tried to be good. And I was successful for like little moments. Right? Little moments I was successful. Woo-hoo, I did good. And then not so good. And I'm sure you're laughing because that's happened to you. So nothing can change our story, especially when it includes salvation. How do we get out, as Jude writes, of this ungodly system into the salvation, the saving grace and mercy and love of the Father? Is nothing but our intimacy with Jesus Christ. He is the one who does the heavy lifting. Cults, false teachers, they don't have this. You ever thought this question or heard this? What is orthodox Christianity? How do you know that church, whatever title it is, how do you know they're orthodox as far as Christianity is concerned? Years ago, I think I was doing security or something, and Pastor Chuck Smith was sharing, and he made it real simple. And he says, this is how you know this is true doctrinal teaching. Number one, if you can find it in any of the Pauline letters or any of the New Testament that Paul wrote, you can find it in there. It's pretty orthodox. Number two, if you can find it in the book of Acts, the whole book of Acts, if you can find the teaching or the behavior or the ministry in the book of Acts or the Pauline letters, pretty orthodox. And he said, number three, if you can find it in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, you study His life, and you can see what is orthodox or not. You ever seen Jesus? I'm sure He could do this. But you never saw Jesus walked into a stadium full waiting for gladiators to come out, right? And does this. Section H for the gladiators. And everybody fall. And they're healed. Never seen Jesus do that. He always did it individually, because He loves us individually. And so when you start to consider all this world system things that is before us, we need to equip ourselves. And this is what Judah is telling us tonight. Let's look at verse 16 through 18. He goes on and he says, I mean, what kind of people are these? These are grumblers, finding fault, following after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. What was that? Verse 18, that they were saying to you, in the last time there will be mockers following after their own ungodly lusts. Now, lust is not just sexual in the Greek here. It's anything we put before God, okay? Anything. And so when you start looking at what are some of the characteristics, attributes, personalities of these people who want to slither in, and I think I shared this with you last week. Charles Spurgeon said this: one ungodly demon in this congregation is more powerful than 1,000 outside the campus. I think I shared that with you. Spurgeon wrote that. You see, one little slithering thing in our congregation, in the body, can really disrupt the work of God. Does that make sense? And we need to be on guard. We need to be on guard. And what do some of those things look like? Murmuring, gossiping, they divide people. These are ungodly tools that the devil uses. Talk about somebody behind their back. Our own personal cravings. I know you don't have them, but I do. I have some cravings. I shake every time there's a good MMA fight on. I'm like, oh, because the techniques are so prolific nowadays. Not like when I used to play around. It's like, wow, these men and women are skilled, man. I want to, whoa. I'm kind of like, it's not godly, but, and I crave that, right? I should watch that. But I know it's going to lead me into chaos if I don't check it. It's going to get me right back to the old fave. As I was sharing with my brother sitting over here, I told him, growing up as a young man, all the way till I got saved at 30 years old. I was late. So all the way till I was 30 years old, I was sharing with my brother that was speaking before the service. God gave me one powerful truth, and my wife set it up, dinner table, pastor, wife, mom and dad, my parents. And she asked me this, I was training to go fight Vegas, and she asked me the question, why are you going want to go fight another human being? And God spoke deeply that night to me. And he said, Fabe, you enjoy hurting people. I did not like that truth. But it was true. There's some of you struggling with some of your own truths, personal truths, that you got to get a grip on. You see, when you have an intimate relationship with Jesus, he'll give you truth that'll set you free. That means everything in you, you need to look at. Because he wants to take care of that. Why? So he can launch you and you can glorify him in the rest of the time you have on this earth. So it doesn't matter about gossip and murmurs, what people say about us and our reputations and whatever. I know this about everyone in this room and everyone online or on the radio. You and I hold the pen to write our story in 2023. How are you going to write that? It's up to you. Don't blame anyone else. That's your book. That's your life. And when I start to consider these cravings and my struggles and, oh, man, backstabbing speech, and I realize, Lord, man, how do we do this? How do we do this? If we say we love Jesus and the way we live, how do we do it, Lord? And I'm reminded of Matthew 19:26 over and over again. Looking at them, Jesus said to his disciples, these things are impossible with men, but with God, all things are possible. That's the only way you and I make it to 2023. If God be for us, who can be against us, right? And you start to process about your own walks. I mean, James, another half-brother of Jesus, he hits it like right on the nose, especially for us men. In James 4:10, he calls us, humble yourself in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. I can't speak for the women in the room, but I know us men, pride is a big struggle. Pride is a big struggle. We want to do things. We want to accomplish things. And sometimes we go beyond what we should do to get there. And when we hear these words of God saying, God's into humility. And I begin to understand and notice how ungodly words, even the ones I say at times, are just a method used by the enemy so I can break people down and not build people up. And it can be to loved ones too, when I have my moments, just like you probably experienced it in your life. And I understand that the further we stray from God in his word and the quiet moments we have with him, which I believe we all need, the farther I stray from that, the less content I become with the things of him. He becomes insignificant. Now, look, when I kick my toe, I'm like, oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I call that stub toe Christianity. When everything, something bad, I watch some videos like traumatic things happening, people swearing and something, boom, oh my God, oh, pray for that. Oh, I'm like, whoa, God just came in the room. Amazing. I don't want to be that way, right? I want to be in the center of his will and his love because I know I need it or I'll stray and I won't prioritize him. I talked about that a little bit last week. If you come up to me and you say, Fabe, I'm a believer, one of the first questions I'm going to say, amen, when were you saved? I don't know the date, but this is what happened. Praise the Lord. Now, how many minutes, seconds, hours did you spend with him today? You got to go there. If we love someone, we're going to spend time with them. Amen? Spend time with them. Be different. Not what the world tells us. I think I shared this with you before. I'm really a Charles Spurgeon fan. And he said this. Every preacher have holes to pick at them. Yeah, we're all fallible, right? Doesn't matter what title you have. Every preacher have holes to pick at them. And Charles Spurgeon says, even if Jesus was to preach, people in the church and his body would find fault in his message. Because sometimes we're so like picky. Right? That's not the right song. That's not the right this. That's not the right that. And Charles Spurgeon said, even people would pick on the preaching of Jesus. And they'd try and find fault in it. That's the human heart. I know this about my life. Romans 10:17 spoke clearly to me. Faith comes by hearing, right? And hearing by the word of Christ. It was God's word that set me free. It was no 12-step. It was no membership of any kind. It was the Lord speaking to me through his word. And it caught my attention. It really grabbed me, and it took me into where he was guiding me to go. And when the Lord's word speaks, we should listen. Remember those of us who've been around for a while? Remember those commercials on TV? E.F. Hutton? When E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. I mean, if Jesus speaks, we should listen. If God's word speaks to us, that's why it's so crucial. I don't care if you spend just one verse in it. Chew on it. Contemplate it. Meditate on it. Take your time going through God's word. It's not a textbook. It's a roadmap. And when you start thinking about where is God in my life and oh, I got all this pressure. Am I ungodly? Do I understand real teaching? But I look at the world. Everybody's doing this. like launching illegal fireworks. Our island is lost. Man, there's so much illegal fireworks. I couldn't believe it. I didn't see like hardly any firecrackers anymore. It's just rockets, red glare going off. And yet this is supposed to be like poor times for us. Amen. Before my dad passed, he always used to tell me, I thought our economy was weak and poor. Look at all these people. And what I saw on New Year's Eve night, I was like, that's got to be at least $3,000. Just went up in 10 seconds. Where did they get the money from? I mean, come on, right? And when you start thinking about all these things that everybody's doing it. I'll share a one family motto with you. I don't know who spoke it. I know it wasn't my dad. I think it was one of my uncles. When I was like 14, 15 years old and you start dating and stuff, I used to tell him, oh, I think this is the girl, man. She's pretty. I like her. And he goes, you know what? You should taste a lot of milk before you buy the cow. And as a 14-year-old, I'm like, huh? And as I grew older, I understood what he was saying. Get plenty of girlfriends. Then you go know the real one. That was hogwash. I am hurt tonight standing here to tell you that I have more memories of stuff with other women than not just my beautiful wife, who I don't deserve. I wish I just had memories of her, but I don't. I struggle with that. But that was like a family model, right? Get as much girls. Well, and I'm like, everybody's doing it. Live with them before you marry them. You don't know how they look like in the morning. I was like, okay. Sad to say, I didn't do that. And so my wife and I, our first few arguments early in our marriage was, why do you squeeze the toothpaste like that? You need to roll it. And then, is the toilet paper proper going under the roll or over? And I'm like, over. She was over. I was like, don't squeeze it. She's like, what difference does it make? She was over. I was on her to, look, let's go into the hotel room. I look, oh, the professional go over. Okay, it's over. But you see, everybody's doing it, right? And we get caught up with all this stuff. And then we miss what God has for us. In fact, I was thinking in my own faith walk, because I wasn't, Calvary Chapel is not my first church. I came to Calvary Chapel in 1993. But before that, I attended a church. I got saved in 1989, December 10th. And that's the church I was attending. And I had a conflict because I started attending, finishing my four-year degree at Wayland Baptist University. And I saw how the Baptists studied the Bible, verse by verse, cover to cover. And the church I was attending was always topicals. And it was good for the ears. And so I challenged the preacher. I said, yo, you know, I study in this at this university, and they do it like this. It seems to be working for me, that cover to cover, verse by verse, right? And they got really offended. And they started calling me the cancer of the church. And so, you know, what do you do when you have a disagreement with a leader? Right? How do you respond to disagreements with leadership? Not like what Jude is telling us. Murmuring, grumbling, right? If you have something, not only with leadership, but anybody in the body, in a loving way, go and present it. And talk about it. You'll find clarity. You do it in love, and love will override all the issues. And there'll be clarity for that. You get beyond the emotion of it. And I started to think about that there's so much gossip and, this and that. I can do this better. I cannot do this better. I got different ideas. And then you leave with a bad heart for whatever reason. And I mentioned this movie series last week, Chosen. And I know some people have bad feelings about that. So I want to tell you that a brother lovingly had a discussion with me, and I love him. And I don't mind iron sharpening iron. I don't mind that at all, in a loving way. And we had a good discussion on The Chosen. But I made it clear to him that I do not look at any movie to feed me biblically. But I told my brother, this is a choice I have. Chosen series, which I like, or MMA, Samurai. Whoa! I was like, oh, what would you do if you were me? I'll watch The Chosen, right? And so for me, that I don't go there for the realism of Jesus, but I like how it's presented and it's clean. That's why I brought that up. It's just a clean movie, which is hard. I've been watching some, you can't trust MA-13. I was watching a movie just the other day, 13-year-old, and there was a naked lady. Right in the beginning, I was like, too late, it's in my mind. I'm like, what in the world? 13-year-olds watch this? Do they? Yes, I guess. Right? So I don't even trust ratings anymore. I got to really screen and go frame by frame all the way to half the movie. Okay, it's clean. Okay, I can't watch this one. But it's really, how do you go overcome disagreements? And in my case this week, we had a clear, loving conversation. He spoke his heart, I spoke my heart. And I suggest to you this. If you have questions, lovingly go and talk with each other, man. Come, let us reason. Let us discuss these things, right? So I encourage you. A lot of things happen in the body because of confusion and no discussion. Even in marriage, communication is the number one thing. In the body of Christ, since we are his bride, we should be in communication with him and each other. And sometimes that doesn't go over too well. I just want to say this. You should be a Berean. Whoever is up here teaching and sharing, you should go and research it yourself. Do it. Don't be lazy. Don't think you're not smart enough. You are. God has equipped you for such a time as this. Be a Berean. Search God's word for you. Let's look at verse 19. Talking about these ungodly characteristics. And he says, these are the ones who cause divisions. I've heard of so much churches splintering because divisions. And this person is real charismatic. Or they have their own following. Right? It's like 20, 30, 40. They really like this person. Could be a worship leader, a teacher, whatever. And now they leave the church, and guess what they take with them? They take the sheep, right? And so these kind of people, as Judah is saying, they're the ones who cause division. Why? Because they're worldly minded. They're devoid of Holy Spirit. They have no Holy Spirit in them. They're all self-centered, carnal, insensitive to the Holy Ghost. Especially when the Holy Ghost is whispering, shh, you need to be humble. Stop. You need to be humble. I'm so good at this. What? You know, if it feels good, don't necessarily do it. Right? How can it be wrong if it feels so right? There was an old song written back in the 70s about that. How can it be wrong? It feels right. Or how about this one? So prevalent in today's society, especially in our country. My truth is my truth. And indeed, it's my truth at this very moment. Your truth is your truth. You know, what do you say to a person like that, right? You're truthless. And I like make you toothless, but you know, I'm going to just tell you, you're truthless. You have no truth. You have no truth. Because this is the only truth right here. Right? This is the standard of truth that the world is missing. Thus, look at the condition of the world. And as Jude eloquently puts it, these divisions, oh, this is the A team. This is the little less people, but they're okay. What is that? We're just normal people. You know, Holy Spirit wants to be part of you and I in our lives. He wants to be part of churches. He wants to be part of special events. And without Holy Spirit, without Him in any of that, it's worthless. It's ungodly works. It's not guided and provided by Holy Spirit. It's worth, and it may be a good thing. You may be painting somebody's house, doing their lawn, but your motive is when they die, I might get an inheritance from them. That's worthless to God. Don't do it. Don't do it. And Jude makes it very clear when he says these people are devoid of Holy Ghost. My heart just wants to scream this out on the top of the tallest mountain, but I'll freeze right now this time of the year if I did that. But I want to scream this. The world needs spiritual men and women today. Not perfect. Not perfect men and women. What is a spiritual man and a spiritual woman, in my point of view? People going in the right direction. Not perfect, but they're headed to Jesus. And He's guiding and providing for their every step. The world needs people like this. Do we want to be that? Or we're so comfortable with, well, everybody's doing it, it's normal. And it's like, I don't know, man. I don't want to be normal according to the world's standard. I want to be different according to Jesus' standard. Are we going to be hated, persecuted, mocked? Yeah, we will. But everything's okay because God is with us. Amen? Let's look at verse 20 to 21. It goes on, he says, but you, now he makes a division. Jude goes, but you, beloved, very intimate. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. That's really the direction we should be headed, to heaven. 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years, whatever God allows us to live on this earth is short compared to eternity. That's the focus. And Jude's main theme here now is remain in God's love. I want to look at three things. First, let's look inward at ourselves in these two verses, inward. Let me just say this real quick. For you and I to remain in God's love, that's a personal choice. You gotta wanna be loved. God's ready, He's willing. You gotta choose to live in His love. Let's look inward to ourselves. How do you and I prioritize building our faith? Especially when stuff happens. Why does bad things happen to good people? Why does kids get aborted? Why do heads get chopped off in the Middle East just because they had a Bible in the corner? Whatever it is. When we look inwardly, personally, just tonight, just within you, what are you prioritizing when something heavy happens to you? Whatever that might look like. Then he goes, praying in the Spirit. And churches like to twist this. You got to do this. Now, I'm not downing tongues, okay? I believe in the prayer language. I have it. However, there's order to it. It should be in your own personal time. Because if I'm up here blabbing off stuff, are you going to receive anything? You're going to look at Fabian in two ways. Number one, he's really mental and he needs psychiatric help. Or number two, he's super holy. Woo-hoo. He's speaking like only angels can understand. That's crazy. That's crazy. And churches like to twist this. Praying in the Spirit. What does that mean? Praying in the Spirit. It does not mean praying in tongues. It means when you and I, and it doesn't matter if you're kneeling, lying down, driving, in the shower. That's when you and I are in a sincere moment with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we're pouring our hearts out to Him. For whatever the reason, that is praying in the Spirit. So don't get caught up with all this, you got to speak in old King James and you know you're in the Spirit. No, no, you don't have to do that. Don't have to do that. I want you to remember God's love for us is unstoppable and He keeps it. God's love for us is unstoppable and He keeps it. Again, I've heard this in churches and Calvaries, but I don't know who said it, but get under the spout where the glory comes out. You probably heard that, huh? Why wouldn't you want to be under the spout where God's glory is falling over you? And what does Jeremiah 17:7 mean when the prophet says this? Blessed is the man or/the woman who trusts in God or in the Lord, and blessed is the man/the woman whose hope is in God. Right? What happens with that? Do we trust Him? Is He our hope? Challenged by that when I'm going through hard stuff. Because like you, I like to try and figure things out. And sometimes I can't figure it out. Whew. Romans 5:6, God tells me this, babe. Even when you're ungodly, I loved you. Look at this. He died for me and you. Even when we thought we were sneaky, nobody can see me. You can't see this. God saw it. Still loved us. Even if it was just you or me on this earth, He would have still died for us. That's how much He loves us. He got slaughtered knowing that the majority of humans would reject Him. He still came. He still died for us. That's amazing grace. That's stuff that I can't fully comprehend, not in this body. And He tells you and I this, come as you are. I don't care what you got. Piercing, tattoos, drug problems, alcohol problems, like me, violent problems, or just plain stupid like me too. But come as you are. He'll take us. Why? Adonai, Yahweh, Jehovah, He is the great I am. And His love is great. It's nothing to do with us. That's why we can come. He is a great God. So when you look inwardly, think about this tonight. We are called to be built. Look what Judah says. Jude says, build yourself up in the holy faith. You and I are called to build ourselves up in holy faith. What does that mean? Well, this is what it means. No one can force spiritual growth on you. You ever look at a brother or sister in the body and like in 2 years they're like, whoa, how did they get on that spiritual highway? You got to see what they've been prioritizing. You got to see what's important to them. You got to see their love for Christ and for the things of God. It's not an automatic, boom. It's what you put in, you get out, right? The law of reaping and sowing. But our hope is Jesus. Amen? Because we will pass from this worldly system one day, either rapture or death, whatever God decides for us. I'm kind of thinking it's rapture, looking at the world today. Woo. But whatever He decides, our hope is in Christ as we pass into eternity. Let's look outward and around us, verses 22 to 23. Outward and around us. And have mercy on some who are doubting. You ever been praying for somebody for so long? maybe loved ones, family members, friends, students, co-workers, whatever it is. Been praying diligently for them. Nothing has happened. Look what he says. Have mercy on some who are still doubting. Mercy on those still doubting. That's a challenging one. Why? Verse 23. Save others. Snatch them out of the fire. You show mercy, you can begin to snatch souls out of the fires of hell. And on some, have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. So when you look outward around us, and you're looking at some people you've been wanting to touch and you want to see come into the grace and saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, it's just not happening. And then you start looking at your life, and I think for me, this important question is this. Because I know I couldn't have done this early in my life. Because I didn't know how to love. I didn't. Not godly love. But I started to think about, Fabe, how can you give my brothers and my sisters in this room and online and on the radio, how can you give them things that you don't have? How can you give them? What? How can you give people you don't? If you want to give grace, do you have grace? You want to share mercy, do you have mercy? Patience, do you have patience? But we want to be Christians. But how do we share with other people things we don't have? You see, I want those godly things in me. Why? Not because I want to be pompous. Because my sister, I want to share that love with you. That is my main goal being up here. And for all of you, I want to share with you what God has done with a knucklehead like me. So you can look and say, whoa, if he did it to Faith, surely I have chance. I can do it to anybody, right? But that's all it takes. If you and I, we look around and we say, what don't I have that I do want to share? And you let God start doing that work. You and I were called to be defenders of others within God's love. We should defend the faith. But yet, you know when you and I point fingers at people, we forget three are pointing back at us, right? And you start pointing fingers, we forget that the best growth, the best things we can share, the best direction we can share, experience we can share, is when we do it with love and concern. Don't just bark at people. Well, you know, I've been there, did that. I'm going to tell you, stupid, if you go down there, well, that's what it's going to be. That ain't God. You may have answers of experience, but share that in love and concern. It'll change the whole dynamics of everything. It'll change it. I don't like to rescue people. I don't. It says, snatch them out of the fire. I'm helping people out of the fire, right? I don't want to rescue. What do you mean? My friend Victor Marks showed me this diagram years ago. He said, I'm facing my back, but I want you to see the circle. He said, Fabe, I've learned that like when the exodus of Egypt happened, God had a 2-week plan for them to get into the promised land. It took how many years? 40. 2 weeks. Took 40 years. Took 40 years, right? So Victor told me this. Every time I rescue my child, here's God's plan for my child. It's a tight circle. But now they're going through their journey, I help. Going through their journey, I help. Going through their journey, I help. And their circle gets really big because I'm not helping, I'm rescuing. And I'm not seeking the will of God for them. Just because my life would be easier if my kid wouldn't die or end up in jail, become a drug addict or whatever dark thoughts parents have, right? And so when we think about helping people, I'm just going to tell you this. You seek God first, and this is what he told us, right? everything else will be given unto us. That's what he said. You want to help someone? You seek his face first. How should I help? I always tell people that. They ask my wife and I, Mona, to come and share wherever. I tell them, look, I'm not making an excuse. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray about it. And I do. And I seek the Lord. And I call Pastor Bill, some other pastor friends of mine. I seek advice. And they give it to me. They pray over me. And then I have clarity. Now I make a decision. Right? But how often do we do that? We just jump in. Oh, my daughter, she's like, okay, she's going to end up again over there. Until her journey is ready to change. I'm sorry. I was a cop for over 25 years. I've seen it. I've seen parents try to help with money, try to help with buying stuff. No work. Does not work. And when you hear these words about God's love, even for the worst sinner, that's a lot of people use that excuse today, right? God loves a sinner. He does, but he doesn't love that sin. He hates any sin. Whatever that sin looks like, he hates it. But people use that as an excuse when they look around. Well, God's love, and I just ask for forgiveness, and go into the confession box and confess. I do my penance, and it's all good. And then I can potty up and do whatever until next week and do the same thing. No. No. God doesn't love sin. He loves us. You see, if a church doesn't love the unlovable, if you and I call ourselves the bride of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, and we can't love unlovable people, then who's going to love them? Who's going to love them? The world ain't. Trying to get rid of them. I know this. Jesus has everything set up. And his plans are good. I look at the world today and all the dominoes are falling. I'm getting excited. Am I bummed that I'm going to lose relatives, friends, and 2/3 of the world's population? Yes. That's why nobody likes to study the book of Revelation. Pastor Bill's going to pick up on it next week, right? You get bummed when you read that kind of truth. But Jesus has it in his hands. You see, our lives, I want to encourage you in 2023, think about this. When you look at your life and the steps you take throughout your day, when people look at you, are you a walking, living letter for Jesus Christ? Can they say, they were once like this, and now they're like this? Can they say that about your life? That is really considering the outward as we look at things. Are we different as the world looks at things? You see, looking outward is important because then you and I know if we're other-centered or if we're still self-centered. When you look outward, why do you do what you do? I'm so challenged by that. I'm going to close with verse 24, 25. Jude continues, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Thank you, Lord, because I stumble all the time. Keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory. Oh, blameless. Wow. With great joy. Notice it's not happiness. With great joy. Verse 25. To the only God, our Savior. Say that again, Fabe. To the only God, our Savior. Through Jesus Christ. Our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, authority before all time, now and forever. Can we all say that together? Amen. Say it again. Amen. All to him. So we look upward to the glory of God. So we looked inward, we looked around us, we're closing, we're looking upward to the glory of God. Now to him. Wow. God cares about our life's journey. To him, he's watching. He's not only good, he cares. To him. Only the power that rose Jesus from the grave can keep us from stumbling in our waves and winds of life. You've probably heard this before, but if you haven't, let me throw this out at you. Our feelings, our emotions, and our situations here on earth are real. Amen? Are they real? Yes. But they're not necessarily true. They're not necessarily true. They can deceive us. And we miss the glory of God. Think about that. Because this is real stuff we're experiencing here, right now, in this moment. Does it make it godly truth? The plans that he has for you and his eternal destination for you and I? You see, no matter how high or the mountain is or how deep the ocean is, even if you and I begin to sink in the ocean or we fall down a precipice and we're stumbling in that moment, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this, he will never give us more than we can handle, and he will always give us a way of escape. The question is, do you just know that or do you believe that? Can I be real honest with you right now? Because I am all the time anyway. October 23rd, when my puppy passed away at 91 years old, I struggled. I struggled for like a whole week. Not only because I was mourning, I struggled like, wow, God, you gave me this man as a role model all these years, and you just, boom. I was caught up in my emotion, right? Because that wasn't the truth. The truth was my dad consistently got worse and worse, and God's grace, that dad didn't suffer. He went out with a smile. And I had over 60 years of him mentoring me, right? Those are truths. But in my emotion at that time, I was hurting so bad that I got sucked into this. I was telling my wife, I feel like I'm not the Grinch or Scrooge, but I don't feel like I deserve to celebrate the birth of my Lord and Savior Jesus this year. That's how dark it was for me. And it was real. How did I get out of it? As Jude said earlier, I was praying in the spirit in the shower, crying my head off, watching a movie, crying. And God clearly said, Fabe, you know this, but do you believe I am faithful in taking care of your dad in heaven? Because he knew me. And I went, praise the Lord. And I came out of my funk. But it wasn't easy, just like you in some of your situations, right? It's not easy. But God is able to give us an escape if we see it, if we seek it, we desire it. You see, keeping us spiritually safe, that's God's work. Judas wrote in this letter, caution, this world is crazy. God's work, he does the heavy lifting to keep us spiritually safe. He will reveal his work in the life of you and I and in the life of others. I want to just tell you this. I don't care what title the person has, whatever. Spiritual title, political title, entertainment title, the GOAT in sports, whatever that title is, that ain't the key to life. That ain't the key to life. It's God's love for you and I and his plans for you and I. If you're down right now, choose to seek him. And however that looks for you, through other people, through verses, through music, Christian music, right? Whatever. Praying in the spirit. You choose those things and watch if God will not move. Please, when you leave tonight, I hope you recognize that. Through my 2 weeks with you, I want you to recognize God's dominion and power people don't give that to him. That's God. The world says, who is God? You see, humans don't give God power. He is the great I am. We live in his dominion, in his creation. And yet today people think that we give God power. People don't do that. He is, for me and for you, the Almighty, the great I am. Amen? Notice at the end what Jude says as I close. His last few words says, all time and now and forever. Notice that complete statement. Now, as in our lives right now, and for the life that we're going to share in heaven to come forever. God is part of that. God is concerned about our walk right now in our life. He doesn't want you to be like I was, bummed out when my dad passed. He doesn't want that. Is that real yet? Yeah. It grew me. It's like lifting weights, right? First day you go in the gym. Ay, caramba. The next day you can barely move. Where's the anti-inflammatories? Ay. And then the next time the muscle gets looking better. And then you go, oh, we're getting stronger. And really that's what God allows for you and I spiritually. His purpose is that we grow spiritually. And that we'd walk in the life that he has planned for us to come. Don't ever be this. And again, you probably heard this saying. Don't ever be a believer and follower of Jesus who become like this. You're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Don't ever think you're above anybody. I don't want that for me either. I'm one step away from being down like any other human being. I want to be earthly good for the sake of my Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be his hands and feet. So, this letter full of warnings, but closes with, even in dangerous times, God has dominion. What does that mean? Trust in Jesus tonight. He sees the end of 2023 already. However that looks like. This might be the year. We're faster than Iron Man. Faster than Mike Valeria's hand when he steals your wallet. Oh, hey, Mike, give me that. What happened to my wallet? Right? I mean, the Lord is ready. Question is, are we? Are we ready? The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord makes his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lifts up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. God bless you. Have a great New Year's, and love you guys, man.